The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Nick Nolte, Powers Booth, Clancy Brown, and Michael Ironside had a showdown to decide who was the most badass. The winner? All of us.
The only movie to successfully give Powers Booth a cooler name than Powers Booth, Cash Daily.
The movie that makes you envious of the fact that Maria Cotillard Alonso gets to choose between Powers Booth and Nick Nolte. The winner? We the audience.
This is Extreme Prejudice on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie that's counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Nathan La Madrid here.
But we're done with that shit. We finished the countdown. It's over. Now we're just having fun with it. So we invited Nathan back to the show.
Thank you.
We're letting some of our favorite guests. Well, I don't want to say favorite. Seems like he's putting some people down.
Yeah, exactly.
We're inviting back just some of our guests that had some wish list episodes of their own that they wanted to get to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before we left the decade.
It's movies that should have been in the top 100, but we're not.
Yeah. That's right.
It's like kind of cult hits or lost movies, which This one is pretty much kind of a lost movie.
This is very much so. Yeah. I think this is a movie that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
And you picked it, so I guess...
It also made negative $11 million.
Yeah, might as well have shit.
It cost $22 million, made $11 million. I mean,
by the time you get the foreign off box office and VHS sales, maybe it's okay.
Do you remember all the VHS that everybody had from Extreme Prejudice?
Yeah, no. I don't remember
it having a long run on TNT.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's something I was realizing earlier today when we were watching it, is I never saw it on TV at all.
Well, to make a TV cut of this movie.
Yeah.
It's tough. You can do it.
God knows they've done it with other movies.
That's true. I mean, you did it with Die Hard and Rambo and stuff, exactly. So it could be done.
Especially if you did like late night, like TBS or something like that.
Exactly.
I mean, but even like
USA
HBO
Up
stuff,
All Night.
Was it shown on HBO or Showtime? Or
it might have been. But we never really had cable for a while. But I never caught it on that. Even when we did.
This should have been like an HBO like staple.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, this is a movie that if my dad watched it when I was a kid, he would have been like, let's find out what this movie is immediately.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Because I want to get the VHS and watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. This is a dude movie, for sure.
But this is definitely
a movie I think all of our dads would really like.
Yeah. I recently lent my dad my DVD copy. I haven't heard from him in a while, so I don't know if he's seen it yet, but I just had a feeling like my dad probably would have loved this back in the day, too.
Yeah.
We should have rented it. That was the only other time I saw it on VHS was at National Video near my house. And I remember seeing the cover.
All right, take that again, but this time say People's Choice Video, sponsor of the show.
I remember seeing it back in the day at People's Choice Video.
Very good.
Sponsor of the show.
For all your video.
All your video entertainment needs. There's nobody. The clear choice.
I mean,
is People's Choice.
They're our sponsor. Let's throw it out to them. You can get Extreme Prejudice there. That's where we got it.
Yeah, that's where we got it.
They do have a copy.
Yep.
Right on.
So you saw it at an old VHS place.
We used to rent a lot at National Video near my house. That's where we first started renting movies at. And I remember seeing it in the action section. And I had this thing about like certain art for movies. Like I told Francisco a long time ago when I was a little kid, I was fascinated by horror movies, but I couldn't watch them because I was scared by them. And I couldn't go in the horror section because of the covers. They freaked me the fuck out.
They
scared the hell out of me. I remember
'80s had crazy cool covers.
They did. Hell yes. They did. The majority painted, and they were just evil. I remember forcing myself to stand in the aisle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even the shittiest ones had great covers. Yeah. I remember forcing myself to stand in the aisle at one point, you know, kind of like trying to get over it, but I was staring at my feet the whole time, freaking out. But Extreme Prejudice has this really cool poster. And it's painted, And like the middle of it is a shot of like Nick Nolte just kind of glaring at you. Look up the poster. It's fucking cool. But he's just kind of glaring at you. And a lot of the other characters are painted around him. And it just, with the name and that cover, it just looked, I had a feeling it was going to be too rough for me. I really did. I thought I'm not ready for this. And then cut to years later, a little over 10 years ago, I started looking into more Walter Hill movies because, you know, I was a fan. I'd seen most of his stuff.
He's an awesome director.
Exactly. I'd seen some of his stuff.
He's a fun guy.
Well, hell yeah. Exactly. He makes some good movies. And I was like, what? I looked up his IMDb to see, like, I figured, okay, he's got to have some movies I've never seen.
Sure.
And I look up and I see, like, Hard Time, his first one with Charles Bronson.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Prison fighting movie.
Yeah. Fucking cool.
It's a great movie.
Hell yeah. The second movie, The Driver. Which I only saw a couple years ago. Definitely. Look up The Driver. Great fucking crime flick.
Yeah. And Drive borrows some from it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. The opening driving sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely pulled from there. But he has a few other ones like Southern Comfort and stuff. And then I look and, oh, Extreme Prejudice. I remember that fucking cover. I remember that movie. I never did get around to seeing it. So I went to this other video store here in Tucson that has like...
People's Choice.
People's Choice. And, and I started looking up the movies.
We'll cut that out.
Yeah, we'll cut that in post. But I started looking for some of these movies I hadn't seen. And I found like, The Driver and Southern Comfort and stuff. And I found Extreme Prejudice. And so I rented. And I'm like, holy shit, this movie kicks so much ass.
Well, first of all, it's got every fucking badass from the 80s.
Just about. This is a dope-ass
movie. So we mentioned in the opening, you know, your two main characters. You got Nick Nolte and you got Powers Booth.
Yeah.
Who are... just fucking badass.
Yeah. I mean, they're arguably the two main characters.
Arguably, oh, yeah, there's no mistake.
It's very much an ensemble piece.
I want to get into it a little bit more. But before I want to ask Nathan, because you didn't get to see it when you were a kid.
No, no.
But this movie's so full of testosterone.
Yeah.
You think if you would have seen it when you were a kid, you would have been not gay or you'd have been more gay?
That's a damn good question. That's a damn good question. I need to... think about that for a while. I really couldn't tell you either way right now. I could not tell you. It's going to take some thought.
Yeah,
it's going to take some thought.
So anyway, continue with your stuff.
That was a very reasonable thing
to digress. I was curious.
Yeah, no, it's a damn good question.
It is absolutely. Yeah, this movie it rocks. It is very aggressive.
It's an 80s guy. But
other than Powers Booth and Nick Nolte.
Other than those two guys, you already have enough like badass for a movie.
There's already enough badass.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't stop there. They were like, who do we get? Michael Ironside. Let's bring him in. He's fucking badass.
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown. Let's bring him in.
Yep.
We need some more.
Let's bring in the crazy villain from Highlander, Clancy Brown.
Yep.
The crazy guy with the psycho abilities and scanners, Michael Ironside. Bring him in.
Yep.
Man.
The biggest black dude we've ever seen, Tiny Listen or whatever.
Zeus. People know him as Zeus or as Debo in Friday. This is one of his earlier roles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Debo Friday.
We got William Forsythe.
Forsythe's fucking great.
Bit of an early role for him too.
Cool. Yeah.
Definitely. The gay guy from Revenge of the Nerds is in this.
Yeah.
The little, you know, svelte looking guy.
And he's Revenge a badass too.
He's actually pretty badass in this movie.
Yeah.
He's like their tech guy.
Yeah.
He's also, he doesn't take any shit. Like he goes right up to Clancy Brown, who is 3 feet taller than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like 3 feet taller.
He rolls up on him. Yeah. He shoots a bunch of dudes.
Oh, yeah. He shoots. They all shoot a lot of guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a good body count.
There's also Rip Torn, who you don't think of as a badass, but watching this movie, you're like,
he's a badass.
Fucking badass.
You believe him as a Texas sheriff out in the middle of God knows where.
Yeah, and he has some of the best lines.
Yeah.
The hell it's kind of politicians.
Yeah.
The
only thing worse than politicians is a goddamn child molester.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's kind of Nick Nolte's almost like a father figure for him a little bit.
And he's just shotgunning people. Well, even in that opening scene where they go to arrest that guy, he cracks some dude's nose.
Yeah.
Butt of the shotgun.
Yep.
And then, like, hits the other guy in the stomach.
Yep.
Torn's fucking kicking ass and taking names in this movie.
You don't take no shit.
Yeah.
You don't.
Now, the movie starts off with, we get an introduction to all these badasses.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's an A-team.
Style.
Like, introduction where
they're all meeting at this airport.
All these guys are dead, according to the military.
Yeah.
So clearly they're up to some shenanigans.
Yeah. Like, There was a term for that, like a ghost squad or something like that, I think. Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know.
Improv troupe, I think you're thinking of?
Yeah, maybe. I think that's it.
Possibly.
That's what Leonardo DiCaprio does in The Departed.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. Pull them up. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, there are these guys. They're all supposedly dead.
Goof troupe.
Yes, there you go. That's the goof troop.
They were a real goof troop, these guys. These
motherfuckers. Back in the 80s, though, it was called the Ducktail. But yeah, now we can refer to them as a goof troop. Yeah.
Darkwing Duck. But then we get introduced to these guys who are dead on paper.
Yeah.
So, but they're meeting again. They all worked together before.
Right.
Yeah. So they're a badass squad.
Like an airport.
Yeah.
And Michael Arnside. And Forsythe has that great bit where he's trying to pick up that lady. And the line is as long as I got a face, you got a place to sit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Classic scumbag line, man. It's really
good. That was a good 80s line. That was a good 80s. Man. 80s coming out 80s to a chick line.
Oh, yeah. Pure scum.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're all, Michael Ironside basically calls them all together because they're all stationed or hiding out in different parts of the world.
But he's their commanding officer.
Yeah, he's the guy who if there's something they got to do, the government tops him and. You know, something kind of hush-hush.
Right, because they're exactly. That's why they're dead, is so they can do all the dirty shit.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we jump from that to one Nicholas Nolte.
That's right.
Is that when he meets Cash?
That's when he first kills that dude in the bar.
Okay, yeah.
Him and Rip Torn go into that bar. They kill the one guy. Yeah. Who's also another 80s that guy, who you're like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
And
then his brother is definitely an 80s that guy, but we'll get to him.
Yeah.
So they end up at a bar because the guy they end up shooting is a kind of a known drug dealer. Apparently, as he describes himself, he's a dirt farmer, but he's got to do some drug dealing on the side, and he's doing it for
because he just lives in that Texas desert. Exactly. Nothing grow out there but dirt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they're driving
and cocaine,
around, yeah, sweet, sweet wild cocaine.
Can't grow cocaine in the desert.
But I'm sure they could have found a way. It was the 80s. Everything was popular.
Downhill, south facing slopes of Columbia. Everybody knows that.
I actually, even this scene, though, is really good. It's first of all, it really establishes that Western feel that this movie goes into.
Yeah.
But just all the dialogue in this, like you're saying, when he's just like, I'm just a poor dirt farmer. You don't have to treat me like this. And like just Nick Nolte's whole very straight laced, you know, you're coming with me one way or the other. Yep. So, you know.
Hardcore sheriff stuff, you know, Western sheriff stuff,
And just going into, and it's also that classic thing where it's the guy kind of going in alone to this bar full of kind of no good necks.
What's a good word for all the bad guys in this movie? Mexicans. What is that bar that he goes into full of?
I said no good necks, but you might have to translate.
But he does go in there looking for a white guy. He knows that guy's in there.
That's true.
He's going in there for a gringo.
That's true.
If you will.
Powers Booth.
Yeah, Powers Booth is an American.
I mean, he's his best friend from childhood.
Yeah, at least at one point they were.
I mean, Nick Nolte doesn't have friends now, so I think Powers Booth is still his best friend.
Yeah, might as well be.
His sweet, deep voice is his best friend.
That's true. Oh, man.
His mustache and his deep voice is his best friend.
Need other friends in that? I don't know. Probably not.
I think he's just going to eventually get to a frequency that we can't hear anymore as human beings.
Just only dogs will hear. You know, if anybody could, Nick Nolte.
Just like snakes are drawn to it.
Probably. Oh, he's a parcel tongue now. A little Harry Potter. But yeah, so
just icebergs are the only ones that understand him.
Holy
God. Cracking.
The vibrations.
Push him at him and we're starting to lose the icebergs. Poor guy. Nick Nolte really is determined.
California has fallen into the ocean today because Nick Nolte spoke and the fucking fault line.
Shouldn't have given
cracked.
Him a role.
The San Andreas fault line said, fuck it.
But Nick Nolte's a local sheriff and stuff. It's set in Texas and it's a border town situation.
Right.
So, of course,
Texas Ranger.
Exactly. This being in the 80s, of course, it was that whole, you know, hardcore drug thing going on. From Mexico.
Right.
So he's like, you know, having to patrol his town mostly because of that. That's why he goes and shoots
this
guy.
In some
bar.
Fairness to Walter Hill,
if you're doing a film in 1987 on a border town about cocaine, it's probably coming from Mexico.
I mean, when they go into Mexico, they go into
1888.
No, they go into 1888 Mexico. Fuck was that? Yeah,
that's
one car.
Yeah, that was definitely the scene where you're just like, wait, when is this movie set?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is it supposed to be? Because they're traveling back in time.
Yeah. Did we just walk into Clint Eastwood? Totally like, what is happening? But it totally works.
It's just like, I like Peckinpah. I wish this movie was a Peckinpah movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we get a bunch of badasses just plowing through Mexicans?
Yeah, there you go. And he actually did say there was a lot
That's a lot of second Peckinpah in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He did even say, like, he tipped his hat to Peckinpah more than a few times. And it totally could have been a Western.
It has that feel for sure. And all the stuff, leaving out the army stuff, which is clearly the modern,
influence.
A bit, yeah.
The corruption of the government and the, like, who do you trust and stuff like that. If it's just a movie about Nick Nolte and Powers Booth, it's fucking every Western made.
Damn near.
Yeah. It's that classic one good man standing up against corruption. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're dressed pretty Western-y.
Fuck yeah.
What if this movie
I mean, you do know this because you've been to Texas. They hand you a cowboy hat when you enter the border.
And a gun.
So you have to wear it.
And a gun.
Good lord.
You can only eat beef.
You can only eat beef.
Unless you're in Austin, in which case, no rules.
Oh, that lawless town.
This movie also could have been a movie about... I want to say Space Marines, the Space Marines from Aliens, traveling back in time to a Western.
Oh, yeah.
To
yeah.
steal, like, some old-timey papers or some shit.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, they travel back in time and they end up in there.
A team of super futuristic warriors has to go back to 1863 to steal, I don't know.
I mean, gold. Maybe gold in the future is long gone.
Or maybe it's like,
in the past.
Or they have to go rescue a whale because they're extinct now.
In the desert.
Exactly. Yeah, and in order to do that, they're going to have to fight a bunch of banditos.
Maybe lose their cell phone on the bus or something.
Exactly. Oh, shit, and then a Terminator gets born because a cell phone was discovered.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That is how it works.
Yep. They find a thing and then they just make robots around it.
Yep. Well, I assume by Aliens times, the cell phones are basically robots. Because we're like, Siri's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So, in another, when's the first Alien? Like, 2144?
Something like that,
Until we get sex robots, we don't technically have robots.
That's true. But I'm saying in another 120 years, our cell phones are going to be a fully functioning AI that could easily build a Terminator.
And you can have sex with it.
I mean, yes. Because
Pornhub is the best website we have.
Own a hole, right? That's the correct...
God bless Pornhub.
Yeah.
And not just you, Pornhub, all you other smaller companies out there doing your
all
damn
the other thirst traps.
I'd like to send a shout out to XNXX. Thank you very much for your work.
X videos, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. All you out there, you're doing God's work. Especially now. So, anyways, Nick Nolte shoots that guy.
Yeah.
And him and Rip Torn, they bring justice to this frontier, this lawless frontier bar.
Meanwhile, these guys are like casing the joint. The mercenary dudes show up. So the movie gets kind of convoluted, I feel.
A little bit. It's a little bit.
It works really hard. But they're casing the joint. And then we cut back to... then that's when he goes and kills his brother, Nick Nolte. Rip Torn goes down, which is very sad.
It is, yeah.
And then he's like, I need to meet Cash Bailey. You know, me and him go way back.
Yeah. Well, I think... He
meets him before that
because they talk about it. Yeah,
oh, that's right. Before the Chicken Champ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Chicken Champ, which is the best name for a chicken restaurant ever.
And then the very normal thing of a guy walking in with a cage
with
and
a rabbit. Yeah.
Yes.
A totally normal thing to deliver to a chicken place.
Yep. What is Nathan? How cool is Cash Bailey on first view?
Well, he's pretty goddamn cool. The first time you see Cash Bailey, he actually has no lines. It's all pure visual.
Already a cool guy move.
Exactly. All visual testosterone. He doesn't shit. But the thing with Cash Bailey is, he's a bad guy. You know, he's kind of a pretty good typical bad guy who you'd expect to be maybe, dressed in black. No. This guy's dressed in a suit and cowboy hat that's wider than all of fucking Antarctica.
I mean, this is right after Miami Vice, right? So why does
probably.
Him,
yeah.
Right?
Probably. Yeah, that's a good reason for that. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, could be. But yeah, he's a scumbag. And again, he has no lines. All you see is that he's waiting for some guy to show up. And then he looks down at a table where I think there's a big baggie of marijuana or something. And crawling out of this bag.
Oh, that's right.
There's a black, big black scorpion.
And what does he do? Doesn't freak out, you know, nothing. Calmly just puts his hand down, lets the scorpion crawl onto his hand, and he just picks it up to his face. And he's just watching the scorpion kind of crawling around on his fingers. And he watches as this one guy is heading into the shack to, you know, probably so they can do some business. And then when the scorpion gets to a certain point on his hand, he just calmly and quickly crushes it in his bare hand. And it wasn't, folks, it wasn't a fucking toy or anything. It wasn't CGI. It was a real fucking scorpion that Powers Booth crushed, and it was in one goddamn take.
You think it stung his fingers?
Probably.
I don't think Powers Booth even noticed.
Probably not. Or if he did, he didn't care.
Actually, Powers Booth didn't even crush the scorpion. It stung him and died from Powers Booth's blood.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Probably. All we know is that apparently, purportedly, Powers Booth crushed a scorpion, a live scorpion, in one take, and by God, they used it.
Yep.
That's your introduction to the fucking villain.
That's how badass
this
motherfucker is.
That's your introduction to the fucking guy. It's like, shit.
That's how you bring a villain in. Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't say anything until the first meeting between him and Nick Nolte a few scenes later.
That's right. So, yeah, so they blow up this chicken place.
Right. And they meet up, and then from that we get the other story, which is they have a chicken common.
Well, they have a lot in common. Yeah. So you find out immediately they grew up together. They're old friends.
Yeah.
They even lost their virginity to the same chick on the same night, apparently, because that's what Powers Booth brings it up. Hey, you remember that girl? You know,
what is that called?
A good time. especially out there in the middle of fucking nowhere. But yeah,
that's all you got to do out there, man.
You find out they're old friends.
Do drugs and good ladies.
They grew up together.
I didn't see a lot of ladies in any of the bars places they went.
That's true. Pickings were slim.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, you find out, you know, here's like some of the dramatic tension in this movie is the fact that here's the law and here's the bad guy, but they grew up together. They used to be old friends and stuff. They went to high school and shit together, you know? And they
still have this bond. And
yeah,
exactly. This is a continuing theme throughout the movie is that Powers Booth loves Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
He really wants to be best friends. And Nick Nolte, that's the only guy that he really cares about other than Rick Thorne.
It seems like it. Yeah, exactly.
But they're also both in love with Maria Conchita Alonso.
This is one of her earliest roles.
That girl from the 80s.
Yeah, pretty much.
You may remember her from
Running Man.
Yep. Predator 2. And this movie.
She's in Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem.
Yeah, she's still actually.
Yeah, apparently she's still doing some cool shit. Yeah. But
this is a real good role for her.
But in the 80s, she was the go-to Mexican chick.
Yeah, just about.
And she could sing.
Yeah, that's actually what she was mostly known for, was being a musician back in the day. Yeah, a singer.
Yep.
Yeah.
But so, she's in this.
Yeah. Yeah. She is good. She's pretty good.
So they're both in love with her. So now, all right. So which is the main storyline?
Yes.
It starts off with the soldiers.
Uh-huh.
But it ends with Nick Nolte.
Right.
Nick Nolte is obviously the character we're supposed to care about. But the other guys are so badass, and it's actually a lot more about their plan than it is about whatever Nick Nolte and fucking Powers Booth are doing.
It is kind of a half and half thing to be. It's like when we were watching the movie tonight, like Eric mentioned, it feels like two movies that were somehow, you know, crammed together. They found some way to intertwine the two, and it's very much a fair assessment. You really could split this movie into two movies. I mean, you have to rewrite some stuff or whatever, but yeah, could have made it two movies out of this.
The plot of the movie is the mercenary dudes.
In a lot of ways.
That's what the plot is.
The movie has two plots.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie, plot A is the mercenary dudes have to take this guy down, and then the twist is because Ironside's actually lying to them and had dealings with him behind their back.
Yeah.
And then the other plot that is also the main plot is that Nick Nolte's a hard-edged Texas Ranger who's trying to clean up his town from a drug lord who happens to be his ex-best friend.
Yep.
And they are in love with the same woman.
Yep.
I guess that's probably my own the only thing that keeps this from being like a brilliant action movie is it's like the plots are too they can't both be the plot and they're trying both to be the plot. The plots are both also so fucking cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Filled with so many cool people it's very forgivable. Like I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
You're like, fuck it, I'm going for this ride, let's go.
Yeah,
I mean I think if this movie was made by a less skilled director or with less quality actors, a shitty cast.
Well, I mean,
it would fall apart.
We probably wouldn't give a fuck about it at all then. So at one point you do find out that after...
Even though this screenplay, sorry to cut you off, but even though this screenplay had a ton of fucking talent behind it.
Yes, yeah.
No, first off, like, to Conan, right?
Yeah, John Milius, who helped co-write Apocalypse Now.
That's right.
He directed but the first also, Conan, yes, Conan movie.
Which is the fucking greatest movie ever made.
The original Red Dawn.
Yeah.
He did a really good movie about John Dillinger. I recently let Francisco borrow my copy of this movie called Dillinger back in the 70s with Warren Oates.
That was cool. John Warren Dillinger, Oates is the shit.
Yeah, it was really fucking good. You know, he's kind of a legendary, kind of like a Hollywood badass, kind of a tough guy, kind of real macho kind of dude.
Yeah, very cool guy.
And kind of up there with Peckinpah.
So some of the other co-writers of this movie.
Oh, that's right. One of them helped co-write The Deer Hunter.
That's right.
You know, so Bullet. The Stephen Queen's Bullet, man, shit. So it's like all these guys.
A ton of fucking talent behind this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a screenplay that, I mean, it has a ton of awesome lines.
Yes, it does.
A ton of amazing moments.
And now we know why.
But like you said, a very weird constructed, in terms of, if you took this to a film school, like a film school writer or whatever, to critique, they would not.
I wonder, because what year was Top Gun?
That was 85, I believe.
So I wonder if like this movie suffered in the box office because it was when action movies started to become PG-13 and not hard R like rated movies.
Well, you also had the Indiana Jones movies around this time.
Exactly. Yeah. So the big action movie makers were like not hard R.
Although Beverly Hills Cop still are.
But for like cussing and shit, not for violence. Like over the top. Maybe this was one of those things where it's just like
Eddie Murphy doesn't murder like 100 dudes with blood flying all over the place.
There's hardly any Mexicans in that movie.
Yeah, in fact. He kills,
let's be fair.
He kills barely any Mexicans in that movie.
There's hardly any Mexicans in Beverly Hills Cop. So you find out that a long time ago, they grew up together and stuff. Nick Nolte went out, as he puts it, he went out to where the dogs bark, which meant going to like Houston and all the big cities in Texas and stuff.
Where the dogs bark.
I don't know if this is in the movie, but I always, for some reason, thought he had like joined the military or something.
You almost get that sense.
He went to like Vietnam or something and came back.
Even if he hadn't joined the Texas Rangers, which I guess was what he did once he left the town. You could see him like being like a military guy or something like that. He just has that kind of feel to him, I think.
Yeah. Well, in a small town.
He came back when his dad died.
Yeah, he came back when his dad died, and he finds out that Mariko del Alonso's character and Powers Booth's character dated and stuff, but I guess that had run its course.
Right.
Now he's back, you know, he's a Texas Ranger and stuff, and, you know, they hook up. But you kind of get the feeling that it's still. It still bothers
because as soon as they get into the big into an argument, it's not about it, but it's kind of about like the Powers Booth thing and she was with him.
My best friend, though I was in town and shit. You know,
even though I was in Chicago.
It's like even how Rip Torn tells him, you know, she dated him before she dated you. You know,
you can't be mad about that.
Exactly. It's just how it is, but it still bothers him. Add to the fact, now he's a fucking Texas Ranger, and now his best friend has become a big fucking drug dealer on the other side of the border.
That's causing him all the trouble.
All the grief he's been having is because of Cash Bailey.
Yeah.
Nathan, I've known you since high school.
Yeah, and I'm a huge drug dealer.
I know.
And now you recently passed the, you became a Texas Ranger yourself, right?
Yeah, but to be fair, in Texas, you don't need much to become a Texas Ranger. I think if you're just a little racist. And
you're very racist.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yes. So, yeah, that's true.
And that's kind of it, I think.
That's pretty
actually,
much all you
if
need.
You, oh, if you own like a big part of the industry that's keeping that town afloat, you're the cattle guy or.
Yeah, cattle baron.
Yeah, you can just be like, I'm the Texas Ranger.
I think if you're the cattle baron, though, if I've learned anything from like John Wayne movies, if you're the cattle baron, it's like. Your nephew becomes the
lawman. You may be right. Yeah. Well, you get your nephew.
Yeah. You get your nephew elected. And then you just kind of run shit from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shady, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't like outsiders ever in their towns.
No.
Or big city folk.
Yeah. No. When a, some fancy, stranger comes a calling.
Were there fancy words? Yeah. The edumacation?
Hell no.
No.
Some stranger comes a calling, you're going to have to kill him to just keep moseying on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's for his own good.
Even if that stranger has come with a streak of vengeance in him.
Oh, shit.
Or he's just some poor Vietnam vet just trying to get
home. To eat.
He just wants to get home, folks.
trying to leave him the hell some alone. News to a friend, to a That's fallen right. friend's family, and then go. Oh, yeah,
yeah. God damn it, Brian Dennehy, stay away from him.
Just leave him alone. He just wanted to visit his friend. God damn it.
Just leave him alone. Oh, God. But anyway, where the hell were we?
Jesus. Oh, so anyway, so the mercenary guys, yeah. they have all this high-tech stuff for right. 1987, so they're going to rob a bank.
They're going to rob a bank because as a distraction to so that they don't know that they're actually stealing some stuff that belongs to Powers Booth that he keeps in a lockbox there.
Right.
That supposedly is, like, I don't know, ties to his criminal empire, right?
Yeah. But they do some cool, like, they get themselves arrested on purpose so they can give information about the police station.
Exactly. Yeah. So and
they scope it out from inside. Right. Yeah.
See how many cops they have, all that stuff.
They do the same thing with the bank. They put recorders.
When Michael Ironside goes in pretending to be like this, like, big wig investor with a bunch of money and stuff so he can get a tour of their, like, lockbox.
They do some cool surveillance. Yeah. Cool surveillance. Yeah.
They're not half-assing.
It's not quite Ocean's 11, but
it's a good surveillance.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, there's even a line where he's like, the highest tech ever, and
And they're thinking this is going to be a night job. You go in all quiet, like
until it becomes a day job, and now they got to deal with innocent bystanders.
Now they got to blow shit up. They know people are going to die.
And it is Cash Bailey's like money. It looks like money. It's like two suitcases that they're taking.
At least
they take all the money. William Forsythe and the other dude, the other guy that we don't know who he is, but he's part of the badass.
He's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he also, at the end of the movie, he actually lasts longer than, I think, any
of the guys. Just about.
You know, he's that guy.
Yeah. He's on one of the big 30s just blowing dudes away.
They fuck up the car. They're late. They get Griff from Married with Children killed.
That's right. This movie has Griff from Married with Children. That's right.
Who's way taller than I thought he was from Married with Children. But in this, he's like really big.
Yeah, he looks gigantic. I don't know. Maybe the guy used to play football or what the fuck.
He does look like a football guy. Yeah, and in Married with Children, it sounds about right.
Well, him and Al Bundy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
High school. Polkai.
They went to Polkai.
Four touchdowns in one game.
Yep.
Legend.
In a single game.
Fucking legend.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they go. He gets himself killed. They steal his shit. You know, Nick Nolte's doing his detective work, putting pieces together. He's like,
this is also when Michael Ironside approaches him as a DEA agent.
Oh, before
the bullet. So there's some sleuthing he's doing.
Yeah.
But then he does arrest William Forsythe and the other dude. And then
because he catches them.
That's
they're trying to get away. There's a cool little car chase. Blast him with a shotgun.
That's when he finds out that they're dead. They're technically they're dead.
Yeah, officially they're all dead.
And I was expecting they're ghosts.
Exactly.
But Nick Nolte, he turns to the camera
and he goes, "I see dead people."
Nick Nolte is too bad. He's too good a cop to fall for that shit. He knows something else is up.
Yeah. Ghost doesn't smell right to me.
His first impression, being that he is a good cop, his first impression is not that they're actual ghosts, but perhaps that there's some chicanery about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're you know, like fuckery ghosts in the military sense.
Is afoot.
Yes.
It's basically what it is.
But, and so that's when he meets up with Michael Ironside again.
Yeah, he gets a drop on him.
He finds out, you've been lying to me this whole time.
Because I do feel like Michael Ironside are more badass than Nick Nolte in a fight.
Ooh.
The character-wise? Because he's like a special ops guy.
A small-town Texas Ranger against a guy.
He said 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. Ops. He has been specially trained. That's right. That's true.
And you know what? And maybe that training means a lot, but we're dealing with a small-town Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
Who is from real America, Francisco.
Yeah.
Not
who has those strong small town beliefs. And,
I mean,
and
Michael Ironside could have come from fucking real America and just joined special ops. He's not like a Colombian dude playing that character.
That'd be interesting.
He's as American as Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know it.
Damn.
As 1980s and 1990s Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And there's nothing more American than 1980s and 90s Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Pretty goddamn American, hell yeah.
He's such a boring guy in True Lies.
That's true. Yeah.
She got so bored with him.
So bored.
Fell for Bill Paxton, because, you know, he's just a fucking nerdy.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger, just the nerdy, everyday guy that
he's
just
like an accountant or lawyer or something dumb. He's just that run-of-the-mill guy, Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis needs excitement, goddamn it!
He was born there. He grew up there. He never left.
That's right.
Yeah,
Guy that just never leaves his hometown.
Nope, that's right.
Never knows nothing beyond his own front door.
Nothing. Yeah. Yep.
It's the same way that, and I, his, the last great Schwarzenegger movie, I think, is Last Stand. And
oh, yeah,
thing,
it is great.
And that thing has the same thing where it's like, oh, he's just a small town sheriff. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. From Austria?
Yeah. Just happens to have an accent.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, if I got pulled over in Texas by a fucking Texas Ranger, which is very likely being Mexican, I feel like if he started talking to me like that, I'd be like, hey, what? Wait, what?
What's going on?
Is this a prank show? What's going on?
Uh-huh. Where are you from? Because like, that accent is bananas.
Am I being punked right now? What is this?
I'm from here.
Yeah. I was very American.
I was born
in Kansas.
Yeah, from the cornfields.
Yeah. My mother gave birth to me in the middle of a cornfield in Kansas. I'm as American as you. Give me your license! Ah!
Yep.
Once again, I find myself asking this. Where were we?
Shit. Yeah. Right. So this is the scene though where Michael Ironside is like, look, I'm gonna tell you the truth
for once.
I'm this, you know, secret agent guy, I'm running this thing, I'm taking down Powers Booth, and that's who you really want anyways, right? You want to get Cash, you can come in, help us out, you can get him.
But it is also like, I know you want to get your lady back because guess what? She took off.
So they have this huge fight after they have a couple of arguments.
Yeah.
One, they've been together for 2 years and she wants to, like, you know, take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And I think this is completely reasonable as a guy in a relationship. It's fine with just putting the brakes on that for a while and just, you know, taking it slow because we don't need to rush into anything, okay?
Yeah,
there's no reason for us very to just much rush how, into, you know, anything serious.
Yeah, very much how Nick Nolte wants to play it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of my stuff at your place, but what's all this about moving in together? Yeah, I didn't bring that up. Yeah.
I still got my place and it's cool that, I mean, we, you know, doesn't mean that we don't have to... Anyways,
wild horses cannot be tamed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I need my freedom.
Try all you want. But at one point, Cash Bailey ends up coming, driving across town, over the border into town right, in a limousine. And they kind of seduces her away from town again.
So, because, like, they have a whole thing about her. She's like, you know, he treated me good or whatever. You know,
maybe you should go with him.
Yeah. And they have this typical big argument. Couple shit.
Yeah. Hey, you can't piss off a Mexican chick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big thing is that she's like, you need to talk about Rip Torn, your best friend and your father figure getting killed, and you need to talk about our relationship. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk. Not a talker.
Too much man.
We just, everything's fine. You just have sex with me and no talking.
If he can't shoot it, he doesn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. That's right.
And then, as a woman does when she is mad, she just, you know, runs off with
Powers. She does the thing that she knows pisses him off the most.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that fucking drives him insane, that's what she does.
Pretty much.
But that's Michael Ironside's, like, that's his leverage.
That's just, right, exactly.
Much.
He has to go get his girl.
If you want
to
go in and get your girl, you got to take us and go with us and stuff. So he's like, fine, I'll take you there.
So then they go down to Mexico.
They go down to, again, like you said, 1897 Mexico.
And here's where the two plots really converge.
Yeah.
Now they're all on the same page. They're all working together.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they got to take down Powers Booth.
So they go into Michael Ironside sneaking in with that one dude with the big Coke bottle glasses. Meanwhile, they're having a big fiesta because, you know, 1897 Mexico.
Yeah. That's right.
That's apparently, fiestas, dude.
When they got in that bus,
it's Independence Day, right?
Yeah. Michael Ironside mentions that. Like, apparently, when they get in that bus to go across the border to Cash Bailey's little town that he runs and stuff, they go through some kind of time tunnel.
Yep,
and they end up like in a little Mexican border town. That more likely, it looks like it was made in the 1800s.
It looks like Speedy Gonzales is what it fucking looks like.
Okay, it looks like Speedy Gonzales.
Speedy's friends that everyone sees.
I mean, it's one of those deleted scenes. It's along with the Rip Torn's funeral. They cut the scene out that explains that they're going through a time tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we never really find out, but you kind of get a hint. You get the idea.
Yeah, so then Nick Nolte goes up, and it's like, Powers Booth is like, let's have a good time, the three of us, come on. Mm-hmm. And immediately you're like, this is not going
to
be a fun time.
Yeah, Nick Nolte's like, I want to kill you.
Yeah.
Let's have a fucking old school, high noon.
And Powers Booth is like, draw it. Kill me here, motherfucker, I got 400 dudes with me.
Yeah, come on, bust a cap.
Yeah. He's like, no, we'll fight. We'll have a duel. But first, let's have a drink and let's get your lady.
I'll jab you a little bit.
Yeah.
Do some coke. Some
fun.
And that's the thing. Coke. Like, Powers Booth mentions that, you know, yeah, I took your girl, but we're already having problems again. Why don't you just take her back?
I mean, he's also, like, at this point, we find out he's doing coke, which means that he's like, yeah, duels are cool, but also coke. Like, I want to go do more coke.
Oh, and the Powers Booth is like, you know, why don't we got to put labels on things? What are we rushing over here? What are we talking about moving in together for? Yeah,
exactly.
Come on. You got your place. I got my place. Right.
It's like, I invited her over. I didn't mean, like, forever. I just was like, hey, come over.
Even though he kind of hinted that he
Powers did. Powers Booth is like, you can have her. Nick Nolte is like, did she start to ask about moving in? He's like, yeah, I know. What's up with that?
Yeah. She's already asked for my fucking phone password.
Yeah.
Dude, she's doing the same thing with me,
which
man.
Which is not okay.
Yeah. No, not the least.
Never
people.
Okay.
No. But, damn.
You're just going to find shit you're going to get mad at.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? That's what you want? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Drama much?
But yeah, so they go over there and the rest of the mercenaries hang back in the hotel room.
At first.
And then Michael Ironside's like, oh, by the way, kill Nick Nolte.
Yeah, we got to go in and kill Nick Nolte.
No matter who we have to shoot to get through this, if Nick Nolte's one of those people, then Nick Nolte's one of those
people. There's been a lot of tension throughout the film for all the
Ironside's calls and planning.
How they're putting them in bad situations, and the one big black dude gets shot.
Yeah.
They're pissed
they're
about that.
Their friend,
they're
comrade.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, fucking Clancy Brown is like, what?
Yeah. He's like, this is weird. A little bit weird about this.
This guy, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, and there's a reason for it, but we find that out a little bit later when they infiltrate the headquarters.
Also, Clancy Brown could probably crush his head with his bare hands.
That's true.
I think so.
Super awesome giant man.
Yeah. Yes. Also, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one movie, and this probably happened before those movies got made, where both of the villains from the first two Highlander movies are in the same movie together.
That's true.
I think Eric, you were the one who brought that out.
Highlander.
Earlier, I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, they are both the main villains from those movies.
Well, they're both Starship Troopers.
When you got that many.
That's right.
As Francisco pointed out.
Hell yeah.
When you got that many of that guys.
That's true.
They've all worked together.
They're going to intersect. So they're going to bleed together and shit and whatever.
I think they've all worked with Arnold at one point or another.
Oh, more than likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I don't know any Stallone connection. Ironside had to have been in a Stallone movie at one point or another, right?
You would think.
Well, didn't he do Bullet to the Head? Or didn't
Walter Hill did.
Walter Hill.
Walter Hill did Bullet to the Head.
That's a Stallone movie.
So there's that one.
Stallone's last great movie. Yeah. Or last at least very good movie.
Yeah, and most of that is because of Walter Hill.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's funny because, I mean, I like
Bullet to the Head. That was after The Expendables he did Bullet to the Head, right?
Oh, way after. Yeah. It might have been after Expendables 3.
Yeah, I think it was.
Maybe.
Well, I guess there was Creed. Creed was after that. Creed's really
good. Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah. He's still good as Rocky, actually.
Escape Plan 3?
Moving on.
The fight at the end is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, God damn, that does come up a lot.
Where were we?
Clancy Brown kind of calls out Michael Ironside on his shit.
They're already like, what the fuck is all going on? Because this is starting to be a problem.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Nick Nolte and Powers Booth, and they're all having drinks.
Kind of talking things out,
but not really.
Powers Booth being dick.
Well, he is drunk as fuck and coked up.
He calls one of his lieutenants over, and he's like, I like this dude. He's a great dude.
Yeah.
And I shoot him in the face.
Yeah. Well, I found out that his take or his accounting or whatever was off. The guy was fucking him. And you don't do that with a major fucking drug lord. Yeah. So... Yeah,
this you can't skim.
It was gonna happen.
I mean, everybody skims, but you can't skim.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Fuck no.
They're gonna go find out.
But it kind of
eventually find out.
It kind of shows just how crazy Powers Booth has gotten.
Right.
How probably being power hungry.
His reaction to that too, where he's like, "Fuck, I like that guy."
Yeah, I did like that guy, but you like know, it's the principle. You know, he fucked
like
me over.
He didn't kill him. Like somebody else killed him. Like, oh man,
I like that guy. He's pissed about it. He's like, God damn it, that guy was cool.
I like that guy, but you know, he fucked me, and I'm not having it. I'm not fucking having it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Got to set an example.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and it's a perfect go-to for a bad guy, right? Kill one of your guys.
Kill one of your guys to prove how hardcore you are. At least this guy, he has a reason. Because usually, in bad versions of this, he just kills a henchman to be like,
yeah.
He, who have disappointed me for the last time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, you didn't kill the hero immediately? I'm going to murder you in front of all of my other henchmen.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're still going to be perfectly loyal to me.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
He shoots him in front of his ex-girlfriend, his ex-friend, and pretty much like, I don't know, 300 fucking other party goers in that saloon.
Crazy. And some of that shit. Crazy party going. Yeah. Like, Independence Day Mexicans that are just like, fuck yeah, and they all have guns.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And all the women are hookers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true, actually. All the women
are hookers. Seems like it.
In fairness, I mean, if you're hanging out with, like, a cocaine drug lord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you wrote a really strong, let's say you get the Maria Conchita Alonso character.
Uh-huh.
And you write, like, a really strong character for her that does more in this movie than just get passed around by these two dudes.
She also sings, Francisco?
Not in this movie.
Yeah, she does.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she does. But, you know, if you give her a good character.
You're crazy. You're both crazy.
She does say that.
Yeah. That's the only thing she does. And you see her tits.
If you write a better character for her, I feel like the testosterone will just purge it out.
Probably.
The original script, she had a lot more.
But the testosterone. Exactly. They're just like gone. There's like so much testosterone that all the crew was just like gorillas. Yeah. Just like pounding shit.
Bunch of fucking Neanderthals made this movie, man.
And then she's just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Yeah, exactly.
She is good in her role.
That guy just started throwing his poop around. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, because even like when she's just standing there, Powers Booth is like ripping her dress and shit, and I'm like, "What the fuck is she doing, man?"
Well, she can't do anything. Zeus is holding her back.
That's true. That's right.
She's helpless. She's the damsel in distress.
She is.
You know, the classic damsel in distress. Who, you know, in other circumstances, better circumstances, she probably wouldn't have gotten involved with these two motherfuckers at all.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like you were saying, that she's just getting passed back and forth and shit. You know.
Yeah, but you need something for two childhood friends to fight over.
It's gonna be a girl.
They wanted the dramatic tension. Let's make it because they're both interested in the same woman. The bad guy dated her while the good guy was out of town, came back. They broke up. Now she's dating the sheriff, and now the bad guy wants her back.
And it's kind of about that, but it's also not about that.
True.
Also just about his like moral fiber, not allowing like this corruption in his town.
Yeah, but it's also about him. You could have done just that.
Yeah.
And it's also about Michael Ironside trying to like bring this special forces team in. So it was about a lot of things.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Again, the testosterone just perched it out loud. Her line's gone.
By the time you get to this end scene where everybody dies, which is what happens next. Yeah. Everybody fucking dies.
Just about.
You're just like, that was cool. And you forget about any of that other shit.
And then you're like, oh shit, these two guys, that's right.
Well, first, this all does lead up to the big shootout, which is definitely an homage to the ending of Wild Bunch.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or the Wild Bunch goes up against a bunch of Mexicans. Yeah. Save their one friend.
Same thing. Well, a couple of white people got shot. But we find out that Michael Ironside's actually been in cahoots with Cash Bailey.
Right.
And he wants to erase that.
This whole thing was just about him like covering up his own tracks because he got $10 million from this whole fucking drug.
Drug stuff. 80s drug stuff.
Yeah. From the dealings.
He got $10 million from 80s drug stuff.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to cover his own tracks.
Yep.
Clancy Brown catches him, though.
Yep. That's right. He finds out, this is what this has all been about. This is why you actually called us from wherever the fuck we were at.
Right.
And you put us in this fucking situation to cover your ass. They already know this situation,
it's kind of a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Like, it's not completely that, one.
I think that's what Michael Ironside was hoping it would be for them.
Yeah, oh, it is.
Well, they're all supposed to die.
That's Michael Ironside's plan. Yep. But even they all kind of realize that they're like, dude, there's like a fucking 200 Mexicans with machine guns.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what are we going to do?
Five of us. I know we're cool, but there's five of us.
Yeah, the odds aren't looking good on this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, something's not right.
Yeah.
And Clancy Brown finds out that, something's not right. He's kind of fucking them all over.
Meanwhile, though, in one of my favorite gags, guy spots Clancy Brown, takes a shot at him. Clancy Brown shoots him. Meanwhile, they're fucking taking paces. Nick Nolte and Powers Booth are going
to
do. They're
counting to 10.
They're counting to 10. They're going. They're walking away from each other, and that guy lands in between them.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's kind of like the Western version of that guy's ass coming in between the two guys, the guy and the girl kissing in Bachelor Party.
Oh my god. I have not seen it that way, but okay. To me, it's just, well, that's just where you learn.
It was a funny bit, okay. I thought. Damn. Yeah. But then that's when you find out that, you know, Americans are there. And
right,
yeah.
So then all hell breaks loose.
And they're just shooting motherfuckers in the face.
You get a crazy pretty, action sequence.
Yeah, pretty good, decent final shootout, man.
Really good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then they all go down. They all get killed. In fact, Clancy Brown and the other dude from Bridge of Nerds take out Michael Ironside.
That's right. Yep, they go after him. Dude.
Yeah,
and they shoot whoever gets in the way, but they're mostly going after him.
William Forsythe goes down quick.
Kills Zeus. Yeah, yeah. William Forsythe goes down. They all get super killed, but they also kill, I don't know, 100 dudes.
Yeah, I mean, each one of them takes out like 15 dudes at least.
Yeah. Just
15,
about.
20 dudes.
Yeah. A lot of motherfuckers getting capped. Yep. Exactly.
Damn.
So then we're like, oh shit, they're all dead. Movie over.
Not quite. Like, you would think, but no.
That's right. The guy in the white.
Yeah, yeah. There's still a little bit of business left between two old friends.
They still have to have their showdown. Yeah, so you got Nick Nolte, Powers Booth, count to three. Powers Booth tries to cheat. Nick Nolte shoots him in the heart.
Here's the thing. Like, they're facing each other, so it's not even like turning around or anything like that. They're just counting.
Well, that's the old school duel. This time it
is,
right?
The old school duel is walking away from each other.
No. Well, that's the old school duel. This is more the old West.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Where you, where you win High Noon or the bell
exactly.
or something.
Yeah. Or the coin flip. Where it hits the ground. You draw that sort of thing. Yeah.
Or the clock tower in Quick and the Dead when you hear that click before the chime goes off in the clock tower. Yeah.
Well, like they're supposed to do the shootout. They're facing each other and they're gonna count.
Right.
Yeah. So Nick Nolte's expecting to count. Powers Booth whips the gun out on the complete drop on Nick Nolte and then shoots twice at his feet.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, what was he thinking it was gonna happen when they counted to 10? He's a worse shot. I mean, he's super coked out.
He's coked out and drunk for one.
But that's also a real thing that, because I've seen some not actual gunfights, but people that like do the gunfights with like, you know, paintballs or blanks or stuff like that to, you know, reenactments and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the guy that just shoots first misses just because you're trying to focus so much on going fast.
Yeah.
That you just fire off wild.
But he shoots twice.
Yeah, because he's drunk and coked out.
I think he would have gotten
He's
one.
Fucked up, man. He's fucked up at that point. So maybe he's probably running on a little bit of adrenaline because of the big shootout that just happened, too. You know, he gets a few shots at him himself.
Nick Nolte proceeds to shoot him like 18 times.
That's right. That's right.
That's how much it takes to kill Powers.
That's actually a Walter Hill trademark, because I've noticed and I read about this. Like, one of his trademarks is usually the last villain gets shot a bunch of times.
Yeah, like he likes him to be like Swiss cheese.
Exactly. One of the few times that doesn't happen is like, again, bullet to the head. Momoa only gets like shot twice in the head or something like that, and that's it. But you look at like this
or an axe fight.
Exactly. Badass axe fight. But, or you look at like the ending of 48 Hours when you see James Remar, Walter Hill regular.
Yep.
When he finally buys it from Nick Nolte, he gets shot like sometimes too, you know?
You just unload on that motherfucker.
Yeah,
man.
So apparently that's a thing Walter Hill likes.
We get a very quick coda where the rest of the drug cartel is like, hey, you know, we'll let you live, but you got to do us a deal. And it's that one last temptation. And Nick Nolte's like,
no deal.
No deal. He's still the law.
He's like, I already did you a favor.
Yeah. That's right.
I killed this guy. Now you get to wear the white suit.
Which I love that fucking line.
It is good.
I always liked it. Good. Oh, that's the other thing I remember telling you guys. The Mexican guy who's talking to him at that role is this guy, Luis Contreras, who's done a bunch of Walter Hill movies. He's cameoed or quite a bit. Yeah. And apparently, so the movie that Walter Hill did after this movie is called Red Heat. And he's, Schwarzenegger and
Jim Belushi.
Luis Contreras comes out at that one, too. And I think I've told this to Francisco. So apparently, at the end of the movie, the Russian villain is waiting to go to the bus station in Chicago to do a drug deal before he takes off, and he's meeting a Mexican guy over there, and he's played by Luis Contreras, and Luis Contreras is wearing, in fact, a white suit.
Ah, see.
And the other thing is
in continuity. Walter Hill extended universe.
Exactly, because the guys I've noticed at the end of the ending credits, that guy's name is still Lupo, and that's the name of the guy in fucking Extreme Prejudice.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have exactly as thick as a Mexican accent when he does talk in that role.
It's nice to know that he's doing well.
Yeah, exactly. He really did put on the white suit.
It's nice to know that crazy murderer drug dealer is doing really well.
Yeah, he became henchman. Now he's el mero mero.
I like that he's like,
oh, it's about time that we make money for us.
Hell yeah.
Is I'm like, yeah, dealing even, drugs, dude? You
even,
can't.
He even says, yeah. No more working for gringos.
Yeah, you can't make this about your revolution when it's about, you know, slaughtering
drugs. I don't think they cared about revolution, dude. They no, were there, they just there to all. Deal drugs and make money, yeah. Whatever. These guys ain't gonna fuck
no,
about
they
revolution.
Care.
Yeah, maybe one point. But yeah, so they actually linked it up with his next, Walter Hill's next movie, Red Heat.
Yeah. Very cool. Very fun. So that's this movie. Yeah. And it's pretty great. I think we all liked it.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's just a really cool.
As men, there was no way we could not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just this really cool, kind of gritty 80s action movie. It's a little serious, but it's not too bad that way. I don't really mind it. I don't think any fan of this movie minds it that way.
It's so crazy violent and over the top with the
it
violence.
It kind of is, yeah.
It gets a
and
little farcical.
Which is what a lot
even,
of...
Even not even just the violence. All yeah. The dialogue and just like...
Yeah.
All,
yeah.
Every
it's just a man
every
movie.
Every dude in this movie is a fucking man.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Badass. They're all just a fucking hardcore, no shits given, no shit taken.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. What's typical about that era of action movies anyway,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even in action movies that might have been tinged with sci-fi, like Aliens, it was like that. Which, by the way, yeah, it was produced by Walter Hill, who also worked on the screenplay a bit.
Yeah.
But, it was just that era. And this movie is very much a pretty good example of that whole thing. You know, we watch it, and it kind of makes it even more of a shame that it ended up kind of overlooked. You know, like I said, it's semi-lost. It has its fans. Even Walter Hill has said, yeah, it's got its fans and stuff. But, yeah, you hardly really know people.
No, like I said, it seems like it would have made good money if it would have played on HBO all the time. Or
for sure. Probably. It could have been like some, like we were talking about, Walter Hill's career.
I mean, it's a true cult classic in that way.
Yeah,
in that way. Like very much not a well-known film, but the people that love it fucking love it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you got to see this. But unfortunately, it still hasn't really caught up in that way either, it seems like. And
that's why we're here.
Exactly. Damn right. And like I was telling them earlier, there's something for me that, like Walter Hill and another one of my favorite movie makers, John Carpenter, have this parallel thing where I think their best stuff was like in the 70s, 80s. And the other thing that they had was like they got a bunch of really cool fucking movies that were great, but unfortunately, most of them didn't make money at the time.
Yeah, no,
which really sucks.
They're like flops. Yeah. That's why we don't cover any of them.
We mentioned a little bit when we were talking about The Golden Child. Came out the same year as Big Trouble in Little China. Made like three times as much money.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Big Trouble in Little China is the much better movie.
It's fucking way better. But let's face it, at the time, I think the bigger actor at the time was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, for sure.
That was like in the middle of
the
his
biggest
huge wave.
He was a huge
star. That was in the middle of his big time.
I get it. It's just one of those things that in retrospect, you're like, oh, Big Trouble in Little China, one of the great fucking classics.
Fuck yeah.
Golden Child, totally forgettable, like subpar Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah,
kind of. I do like Golden Child.
I like Golden Child.
It is a fun movie, but I've seen Golden Child. I could probably count the times I've seen Golden Child on one hand. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen Big Trouble in China, man. Yeah. Right now, my god.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a steady part of my movie diet, right? Well, our movie diet. Too,
I don't think
you know?
The Thing was a big hit.
No, it wasn't.
No, none of them are.
No, but crazy. It kind of sucks. It would have been cool, like with The Thing. It wasn't a big hit, got fucking reviled by critics, but like you were saying, it started playing on HBO. It started playing on regular on late night TV.
It had a run.
Yeah, exactly.
It got
rented at the video store and stuff, and people like started really discovering it. Critics started like thinking about it differently and stuff. And now like it's kind of become a big movie in a way where you know people cite it as like this really influential and amazing. Horror film that it is, you know. To me, it's Carpenter's best movie.
Yeah,
and I kind of wish something like that would happen with some other movies, like Extreme Prejudice.
I think
it'd be great. I wish something like that had happened with Extreme Prejudice.
So as much as we love this movie, as great as we think it is, now we come to the time.
Where
we got to fix this movie.
I would fix this movie. I would go back in time and make sure it got way more fucking advertisements or something. And get more asses in the seats, so it would be a lot more successful.
What you're saying is that we go back in time and we recast this movie with big stars.
Well, that's what we were talking.
Stars are fine.
We're talking earlier about if Wes Anderson made this movie.
Oh yeah.
So if Wes Anderson made this movie with Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman.
Oh my god.
What kind of quirky pastime would fucking Nick Nolte's character have?
Stamp collecting, or
yeah, maybe like or maybe. Like bird watching, but only like
you would collect those birds Russian
like larger than 12 inches or something.
You would collect
like
those Russian dolls where it's like one doll inside.
Oh, the nesting dolls.
The nesting dolls.
Yeah,
he would collect that. Or something.
And then Powers Booth has been building one cabin his entire life.
Yeah,
until his father died, and then he tore it down and began again.
Oh, in between, in between, you know, cocaine deals.
That has to happen in the middle of the movie, right?
Oh, there you go. Probably.
Or no, in like the third act.
Oh no, I thought it was just part of like, you know how they have one narrator narrating quirky shit about you.
True.
Yeah.
No, but I think that for something like the dad issue's got to be like front and center.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so.
True.
And
yeah,
it's got to end with him tearing down the cabin so he can rebuild.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's him letting go
of the father stuff. Yeah.
It's him letting go of the luggage as he runs to catch the train.
Yeah, exactly. And then Owen Wilson.
Yes, Owen Wilson plays the, I guess,
Maria Cugino Lotso role.
Yes, yeah, clearly.
We get Ben Stiller for the
Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside, and I guess Adrian Brody, maybe. Or
it's Clancy Brown.
Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston can
Yeah,
you know what? Angelica Houston can play Clancy Brown's character. That'd be interesting.
She's as tall and stoic. Yeah,
Danny Glover will be the like nerdy black guy.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, like a lawyer or something, like something that makes him like upper class.
Yeah.
They all wear like uniforms, like very uniform.
Oh my god.
True.
And then they have like a tennis match instead of a.
Instead of badminton.
Yeah, not the stupid little ball.
Yeah, instead of a huge bullet drenched fucking
finale, they have a badminton. Yeah. Gets interrupted halfway because somebody else gets shot.
Or the kite that they released in the beginning of the movie falls in the middle of it, hits the ball.
In the middle starts with Alec Baldwin narrating when they're kids.
Yeah,
and they put a kite into the air.
Yep.
And then it falls in the end when they're in the middle of their badminton tournament.
The ball hits them right through the middle.
And Schwartzman and Bill Murray look at each other and they're like, I can't do this. You're my best friend.
Sometimes I hate
she
Wes
Anderson. She was my Rushmore.
God damn.
Also Jeff Goldblum.
Also Jeff Goldblum, yes.
Owen Wilson was my Rushmore. She was my Rushmore, too.
There you go.
That sexy Mexican lady.
Yeah. He's got to, of course, sing the whole Mexican song in the bar.
In the cantina. Yeah.
Now I want fucking a cut where Nick Nolte talks to Powers Booth and says, America Chudo Alonso was my extreme prejudice. What?
Yeah.
What?
That's pretty good. That's
You're
pretty
my
good.
Extreme prejudice.
Actually, can Damn we it. Just get Nick Nolte in a Wes Anderson movie? I want to see
Why is
that.
He not?
That'd be, yeah. That'd be
that, with that crazy voice of his.
He does have... Yeah. He could be the narrator, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be trippy.
He's a great narrator voice.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Powers Booth, unfortunately, has passed, so he can't be in
the next
he's
gone.
Anderson
that's right. He's a really cool fucking character what? Actor and stuff. He'd been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Very long career.
Powers Booth is dead?
Powers Booth is
you
dead.
You know he's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who Powers Booth is. What are you guys saying? I didn't remember which one of them it was. It was a guy. You know, Skip over there.
You got it.
Yeah, that's him. I've seen plenty of Walter Smith movies to know.
Jesus Christ. That hurt
that's
my
a
heart.
Weird bit. Weird bit out of nowhere. The new ongoing section that we're going to feature in every podcast. Weird bit that makes no sense.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I mean, based on the previous hour that you've listened to.
Every like 10 episodes we get one.
Yeah.
At least we got shoehorn it in or whatever.
Are we all happy with Wes Anderson?
That's pretty good. Movie? I mean, I do love Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
And I've loved every movie he's ever made, so I don't see why not.
The animated or now that he's doing so much animation?
Oh, that's true. Claymation?
A claymation extreme prejudice.
A claymation extreme prejudice.
Oh my god!
With Nick Nolte voicing the character.
Fuck yeah!
Oh my god!
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be interesting.
Are they all foxes now? I kind of want them all to be foxes now.
See, I wish I was like
they're all
really good.
They're all squirrels in Central Park who are trying to take over. I don't know. They're trying to
you're,
see.
You're
you.
Now you're going to
Pixar.
To Pixar.
DreamWorks.
DreamWorks.
DreamWorks. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Keep it at least Rango and make him all
a little
was
meta.
He supposed to be a lizard, right?
He was a chameleon. Yeah. Oh, this was a mess.
All right. So, yeah, we fixed it, though. Wes Anderson makes it.
Oh, the animator. That's what I was going to say.
Sorry. There you go.
I think if I was a really, really good animator,
yeah,
I would take just, I would have taken the quarantine time when I was locked in there to just animate one of my favorite movies that should not be animated. Just take the audio.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Huh. So we just do that.
I think you're far underestimating how much fucking work it would take to animate a 90-minute fucking movie.
That's true. Yeah.
By yourself?
You don't know how I
that's
animate.
That's why you send it to Japan and let like one of those anime studios like Madhouse or some shit do it.
Send it to Korea?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most of them are in South Korea now. Yeah, but yeah, send it over there. Let them
you
do
send
it.
Send it to Japan. You let Japan storyboard it. Then exactly. They send it to North Korea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or South Korea. Okay, rather,
and then animate that sucker.
Yeah.
And then put it out and just let people just groove on it. Yeah.
You run it through with a filter that makes it one of those pencil ones?
You run it through, it's Waking Life.
Yeah, like the rotoscoping.
Yeah,
Then you rotoscope it, right? But then you still want to change it to make them animal characters. So then you just use like a Snapchat filter that gives you like a dog tongue.
Like a Ralph Bakshi thing like back in the day. Yeah, just
every time they talk, it's just like a big tongue comes out.
Oh, man.
Or like stars on your cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Or cat ears.
Or just throwing up rainbows.
Yeah, throwing up rainbows.
Holy shit. All
right, so we have officially fixed/ruined
Extreme Prejudice.
Classic movie that we definitely recommend you all go out and see if you haven't seen it yet.
If you can find it, there's the only copy here in the States is like on DVD is
People's
this...
Choice Video.
Yeah.
People's Choice Video, Tucson, Arizona. Come check it out.
Oh, also your dad has the other one.
Yes, right, yes. The only other copy, and it's not a Casa Video, is my dad has it down in Mexico. Hopefully you've seen it. Yep. I think he would have liked it. I kind of wish we had rented it back then, because I think it probably would have been like a quick favorite of ours. Like, oh my God, it's a badass fucking action movie, you know?
I mean, if he hasn't seen it, it's probably because he hates you, not because, you know, the movie.
Not because of the movie.
Yeah. It's because you gave it to him.
I mean, Nick Nolte's his favorite actor, but just to spite you.
Yeah.
My silence is my rage. if you can, I mean, it's available on like.
Yeah, if you can find it, you can probably find it for pretty cheap and watch it.
It's really good. I don't think it's necessarily Walter Hill's best or Nick Nolte's best or anything, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. I kind of think it might be my favorite of Hill's.
Wow.
I actually think it's like at least really high on the list for
me. It is really good.
Wow. It is. And I love it. Like, he's made some other really cool movies, The Warriors.
And it actually.
48 Hours, Last Man Standing.
It's a really good Geronimo. Nick Nolte.
It is.
Yes, it really is. Good actually, I think everybody's really good at it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's definitely my favorite.
Powers Booth.
Powers Booth role. Yeah. Cash Bailey.
Yeah.
He's fucking great in this movie, man. He's good.
Well, and he gets a lot to do because he's kind of the main protagonist.
Scene chewy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he's
not too much, but
yeah.
He doesn't overdo it, but just
it's definitely
enough.
Not the best Michael Ironside or Clancy Brown, but you still get enough of them to be like,
they're still great in it. Yeah, you're happy to see him.
Yep.
It's not the best black guy from Revenge of the Nerds because, you know,
Revenge of the Nerds.
Obviously, the other guy, Married with Children.
Children is the best one,
But they hold their own.
I don't know what I would say his best work is.
I would say the Jewish Butcher in Boardwalk Empire.
Ooh.
It's fucking amazing.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
He kills, what's his name?
That's cool.
Wife and girlfriend earlier.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, I would say that's William Forsythe's best one.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that,
it's a good movie.
Let's
check it out.
And if you're like a preteen, it'll put hair on your chest.
Yep.
If you're a lady, it'll put hair on your chest.
For them balls to drop. Yeah.
Because it's so much testosterone in this movie.
You've been waiting for puberty.
Drenched in it.
Yeah. They're like covered in it. That's not sweat on those guys.
No, that's. Pure testosterone.
There's also a shit ton of sweat.
The hot September sun in Texas.
Or at least somewhere in California, standing in for Texas.
Yeah, exactly. That's just testosterone dripping from it.
80s action movie testosterone. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. In fact, again, you know, I already made this comment, but I think that's a reason why they weren't that many women at the fiesta, and they were all dudes,
is because they
all became dudes halfway through.
Yeah,
just a dripping.
Probably. It's believable. It's believable.
But it's also not in a comically over-the-top testosterone. It's actually a cool fucking movie.
It's a gritty neo-Western.
For as much testosterone as we've talked about, it doesn't bleed into... Like, it's not even, I would say, like, the Predator level is almost comedic. Like, I love Predator. That's the
level that I'm talking about.
But Predator is almost comedic in how, like, over-the-top
it is.
Yeah. This movie's just great.
It's just a little more grittier, I guess.
It's
kind of a gritty
crime.
It
is still grounded in that, like, Western.
Yeah.
At the core of the movie is still this, like, hard-ass cop or ranger or sheriff or whatever. You know, in this particular version, it's a Texas Ranger, but it could really be anything, right? It could be John Wayne. It could be just Clint Eastwood, Gary Cooper, whoever, right? Yeah.
Just about.
And against to this former best friend who's now a criminal.
Yeah.
And so it has that core of just like classic fucking good versus evil.
Yeah.
Principles versus compromise.
Yeah.
And then a fucking 100 people get shot. It's
great. Yeah. Yeah. A whole bunch of them.
Just about.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with some more stuff. I don't know yet.
We're gonna do a couple more episodes, or yeah, wish list episodes.
That's true. We got a couple more guests coming back to do a couple, and then I know me and Francisco want to do a couple of our favorites. So come back for that. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook and all your, you know, subscribe, rate, review.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Nostalgia everywhere. BlockbusterNostalgia@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an email. Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landia.
Returning guest Nathan Lamadrid.
Wishing you a good night. Good goddamn motherfucking journey.
Good luck.
Pew, pew.
That's a gun sound.
Pew. You're right.
'Vodka brand vodka. It's not good, but it's cheap. Drink it.
Hey, what do you care, drunkie? Just put it in you.
Yeah. You're an alcoholic. You don't care. Drink any old vodka. Sponsored by the Vodka Association of America.
All right, all right, all right.
Test, test, test.
That's what I like about movies from the 80s. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.